Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 12th. I'm Ray Graff. As the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown and resulting social distancing rules unfolded, spring was also unfolding. And one of the good things that happened was many people got outside. Bikes, walking trails. It's hiking and biking today. There is a renewed interest in this. Not that there was ever not an interest in this. On the line today, Mary Glynn of Outdoor Skills Coordinator for the Adirondack Mountain Club and Samantha Moranville, co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties. They're ready to tell you where all the best trails and routes are. Give us a call if you have a question. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we talk hiking and biking. You know, it's been a while since we've done one of these, but if you think about it, it's perfect timing. With the pandemic and the lockdown, many people have had more time on their hands. They have gotten out there on the trails, and it's a great way to practice social distancing and get some exercise. So on the line with us today, Mary Glynn, Outdoor Skills Coordinator for the Adirondack Mountain Club, and Samantha Moranville, co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Kingston, New York. They're ready to tell you where all the best trails and routes are in the great outdoors. Mary holds a bachelor's degree in environmental science from Le Moyne College in Syracuse. She's a wilderness first responder and is training through the American Canoe Association in canoeing. She has spent many years hiking around the Adirondacks and is one of the very few who has ever attempted a winter through hike of the Northville Placid Trail. Samantha Moranville is the co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Kingston, New York. Over the past 11 years, she has helped more than 1,000 people select their ideal bike and has given plenty of real-world advice on making the most of bicycling. She is an avid cyclist who enjoys any kind of bike ride, but mountain biking on single track is her particular favorite. She lives in Kingston with her husband Steve and their two dogs. If you have a question about the state of the trails or Samantha's two dogs, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And let's get the show on the road. Mary Glynn and Samantha Moranville, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ray.
Who's who here? I can't see either one of you. Who's Samantha?
I was the first one to speak up. This is Samantha.
Hello again. You've been on this program before. I saw you in person.
Yeah, you did. Back in the old days when we could go to the studio.
Before the world ended. Mary Glynn, welcome to the show. It's your first time, right?
Yes, thank you.
Nice to have you both here. I got to say, you know, so many people are out there now. This is only anecdotal information, but one of my kids, they had a birthday coming up, and it was in the middle of the pandemic, and I said, you know, I got to get a bike. You could barely get a bike anywhere. I mean, the store, everybody's out there buying bikes.
Yeah. There's been an extraordinary boom in the interest in cycling. It's just been, everybody in the whole industry is boggled by it because we haven't seen anything like this. The last time there was a bike boom of this nature was in the 70s when there was a gas crisis, which I don't personally remember, but and it just really took everybody by surprise. And so it's been a really interesting time to navigate the bicycling industry, that's for sure.
Now, you know, Samantha, your bike shop, Revolution Bikes, Bicycles, is a little... Well, let's just say it deals in better bikes. When I've had to take some of my daughter's bikes in for repairs, the guys at the bike shop say, well, you know, this bike, it's not easy to repair because it's a lousy bike. I think in many ways you get what you pay for, and those you find at the big box stores may not be, in the long run, a cost-effective way to go.
Right. I would agree with you. You know, there's two ways to look at it. You know, you can think there's price and then there's value, you know, and if you look at it from an economical perspective, it pays to pay more money because often the bikes that you pick up from, you know, any of the big box stores or department stores, you know, those aren't really designed to be you know, high-end sports equipment. You know, I think the makers of those anticipate that the person is going to use it for a while, and then they're going to abandon it, and then they'll go back to the store and they'll buy another one, which is what usually happens.
Right.
You know, where you spend a couple hundred bucks more, you know, once you get into the $400 and up, now you're buying something that's going to last you 10, 15, I mean, it'll last you indefinitely.
Right.
If you take care of it.
Mary.
And so you save a lot of money in the long run.
You know, we have many calls on the line already, 800-348-2551, about biking and hiking. And before we get going with the calls, I wanted to ask Mary Glynn, what is the winter through hike of the Northville Placid Trail? Why have very few people attempted this thing?
Well, Ray, the Northville Placid Trail, which is about 140 miles heading north and south, almost across the entire Adirondack Park, goes through some of the most remote sections of the trail. And while it doesn't go over any major mountains, it does go through the West Canada Lakes Wilderness and the High Peaks Wilderness, the dead center of the High Peaks Wilderness. And because of how remote it is, you know, it doesn't get a lot of traffic. So in the winter, when there's really deep snow, it's a lot of work to break through that snow and break trail. And so it's also, you know, being 140 miles, it, you know, in the winter, I suspected it was going to take about two and a half weeks. And that's a long time to be out in the Adirondack winter. So very few have attempted it, and even fewer have made it. I've done almost half of it now at this point. And it's cold out there.
Oh, I bet it is. All right, let's handle a couple of quick emails. We'll take a break, and then we will go to the phones. The number here is 800-348-2551. Samantha Moranville and Mary Glynn join us on this hiking and biking edition of Vox Pop. This one came in from Ashley in Albany before the show started. I've been hiking for years, but I'm new to the area, and I'm starting my first two of the 46 high peaks this weekend. I was told to start with Cascade and Porter as they're pretty easy and a good way to, quote, get my feet wet with the 46. What day and time should I go so that it's not flooded with people? And where do I park if the lot is full? Well, that's a good pragmatic question from Ashley in Albany.
Yeah, this is a great question. Ashley's planning ahead and preparing for her trip. We've seen at the Cascade and Porter trailhead that they are very busy just about every nice day this summer. Even midweek isn't quite safe anymore. So unfortunately, to get up on those mountains, you might be looking at, you know, maybe a sunrise or sunset hike, or even a, you know, more of a rainy day, maybe when the weather's not going to be quite as nice, which doesn't make your experience nice, but certainly keeps you safer interacting with less people. And unfortunately, on the Route 73 corridor, which is where the parking currently is for Cascade and Porter, there are quite a few parking lots, but I've certainly driven through that area and seen it packed and overflowing. And it's really not a safe situation. Cars are going through at 55 miles an hour. And really the best advice I would have is to have a backup plan. So that way, if she arrives at the trailhead and realizes that it's full, have another peak in mind to get started and enjoy maybe a quieter spot because it is always better to have something up your sleeve for a plan B or even a plan C this summer, as we've seen.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Mary Glynn is joining us, Samantha Moranville. It's hiking and biking on Vox Pop today. A couple of more emails and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is the number on this hiking and biking edition. Mary Glynn is here. Mary is with the Adirondack Mountain Club. Samantha Moranville is co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Kingston. You got a hiking and biking question or a hiking or a biking question? Now's the time. 800-348-2551. Two more emails here and then we'll hit the phones. This one's from Ann. Can you talk about e-bikes, how they work, and safety? Samantha.
Yeah. So e-bikes, how they work. An e-bike is a pedal assist bike that has a motor either built into the hub of the rear wheel, or it's built into the frame where the cranks go in. And what they do is when you're pedaling it, it helps you along. So it makes you feel like you have bionic legs. So you're still in charge of making the bike move forward by pedaling the bicycle, but the bicycle is helping you. So, and you have, on the majority of e-bikes, you have different levels of assistance. So if you are climbing up a hill, you can juice up the level of assistance so it will push you even more so to help you get up hills a lot easier. If you're just cruising along, you'll be sort of pedaling at your normal pace, but instead of going, 8 or 10 miles an hour, you'll go 18 to 19 miles an hour. In terms of safety, you should ride it the same way you would an ordinary bike. Make yourself aware of hand signals. Be aware of traffic that's around you. You should have a bell to alert people when you're coming, especially on shared use trails where there's other cyclists and hikers and joggers out there. A helmet is definitely advisable, and you want to be visible, so you want to wear bright colors. A lot of e-bikes are already equipped with daytime running lights and nighttime lights, so that's a good idea. But if it doesn't have lights already, that's something that you could add on.
I know I asked you this the last time you were on, but isn't that cheating? I mean, you want to just buy a Harley, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, so it's not cheating. It's really just enabling you to do more. So what usually happens is that somebody gets on an e-bike, and instead of going out for, depending on what level of cyclist you are, if you're a very casual, very recreational cyclist, and for you, 10 miles is a big day, then you get on an e-bike, and it's not like you do the same 10 miles. You're probably going to do 20 miles,
yeah.
And you're probably going to climb more hills. And usually what happens is you just end up riding more because there's fewer barriers to get out there. I mean, I'm an avid cyclist. I ride all the time. But believe me, there's days where the thought of a hill just is enough to turn me off. I don't want to get on my bike.
Yeah.
So when you have an e-bike, that goes away.
Okay. And, this is not a new thing. I mean, back in the 70s, mopeds were the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess these e-bikes are electric, though, right?
Yeah, they're electric. And they're just so cool. They're so much fun. I mean, so you're just pedaling along, but you feel like you have these super bionic legs,
yeah.
And it takes the drudgery out of it. Anybody who's ever ridden on a really long, slight grade where you're just climbing a little bit, but it's long,
yeah.
And by the end of it, you're just pooped, or
yeah.
Even halfway through, you're just like, ugh, that just goes away. It's just fun. Going up is just as much fun as coasting down.
That pretty much describes my career, by the way. Very long, slow incline, and you're pooped halfway through. All right, this email came in from Amanda in Albany. Amanda writes, I have an old dog that loves walks at new sniffs, but he can't do trails with too many hills. Do you have any places you can suggest or somewhere I can look up suggestions? That's from Amanda. Maybe Mary Glenn, you handle that one.
Yeah, well, depending on where Amanda is, I would definitely recommend her grabbing some maps for her area or the areas she'd like to visit.
Albany area. Amanda's
Albany,
in the Albany area.
Okay. Driving not too far north is the Faro Lakes Wilderness area. Most of the trails through that are pretty quiet and also pretty flat, mellow trails that she'd hopefully be able to have a really great wilderness experience along too. Beautiful lakes. That would be my first thought off the cuff.
All right. Now, Lou in Altamont's been waiting about a half an hour, and he's probably understandably irritated with me. Lou in Altamont, you're on.
No, I'm just glad to talk to somebody.
Go ahead.
I live here in Altamont, and for years I've been hearing that the long path, which originates in Jersey, ends near Altamont. Every time I've looked on the internet, I get conflicting answers and eventually a series of pictures and never an exact location. Do either of you ladies know where the long path terminates in or around Altamont, New York?
The long path.
Ooh. I know I've heard of the long path, and I've done some hiking down in the Catskills. I I don't know if I have a specific answer, but I could certainly try to look it up here.
So why would it be such a mystery? I don't understand.
I think trail might be, you know, it make many other trails make it up.
So I
think sometimes it, trails like that tend to have conflicting terminuses, just like the North Old Placid Trail, and everyone has some different info. But I do know that a lot of it is on my National Geographic map of the Catskills, probably just the Catskill area, and I'm not sure about the New Jersey portion, but I've heard great things about that trail.
I mean, Lou, what you could do is go drive down to Jersey, start there, and see where you end up. You know?
It sounds like a good idea, but I'm not sure if my transistor would pick up the station.
Well, you'd need to bring some sort of an internet radio. Hey, man, thanks a lot, and we appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Hiking and biking today, Mary Glynn and Samantha Moranville join us today. Joe is in Burlington. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hello, folks. The Adirondack Rail Trail between Old Forge and Lake Placid has been in the works for years, and there's been quite a bit of planning and proposals, and supposedly the construction on the portion between Tupper Lake and the Tupper Lake and Lake Placid is to start, or should have started, this calendar year. I was wondering whether you had an update on the rail trail, and if anything is being constructed, or is there any proposals as when any of it will be open to the public?
Okay, Mary.
Yeah, I think recently, maybe this spring or winter, it was decided that a portion of it was going to be converted into a rail trail system for biking and hiking, and another portion was going to be used, I believe, for a scenic railroad to come back to the area. And the last I had heard was that the COVID-19 pandemic had pretty much put that project on pause, just to a lack of funding for the time being. And I haven't heard of any, restarting of it yet, but, hopefully next year.
So I should plan to call you back next summer.
Good plan.
Perhaps.
Yes, I think that's the plan.
All right, Joe. Hey, listen, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. By the way, we got an email from our buddy Aaron, who says the long path ends at Thatcher Park. So there's one bit of evidence there, and thank you, Aaron, for that one. It's hiking and biking today on Vox Pop. Samantha Moranville is co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Kingston. Mary Glynn is outdoor skills coordinator for the Adirondack Mountain Club. By the way, Mary, what do you do now? You're an outdoor skills coordinator. What do you coordinate exactly?
Good question. So at the Adirondack Mountain Club, I work in the education department, and I provide a variety of outdoor skill-related courses. So map and compass courses, I teach an eight-hour course to get folks interested in how to use a map and compass properly. I teach leave no trace courses, winter survival courses, a whole lot of stuff like that. And I also do some guided trips for the club as well.
Oh, very cool. Well, this, and probably not too many guided trips in the last several months, right?
Well, this past month, I've started doing some of the guided hikes again. We're doing them with smaller groups, and, you know, we're certainly keeping our distance, even though we're outside.
Yeah.
But I actually converted a lot of our skills courses into an online format. So I taught, you know, four or five different map and compass courses while we were all in quarantine, teaching them from my house.
Well, very good. Mary Glynn is with us from Adirondack Mountain Club. Samantha Moranville from Revolution Bicycles. And we go to Bearsville, New York. Jim, you're on.
Jim.
Hello,
I'm Jim in Bearsville.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
You're
hi.
On. Yeah, hi there.
I bike a lot in Dutchess, Columbia, and Ulster counties. And I've used the Jamapco series of maps for years.
Oh, yeah.
Which are road maps. Not always as accurate as they could be, but they're the only game in town for detailed road maps that I've found. Jamapco is now no longer producing their print maps. And I wonder if you have any suggestions for roadmaps for those counties for road biking, ideally with topographic information so you can tell where a hill is or not?
Great question. Samantha?
Well, I guess I have pretty much relied on the internet for all that kind of stuff. There's a couple different programs out there. There's one called Map My Ride, where, you know, other people can create a route and then you can see it and it'll actually tell you exactly how much elevation gain there is. There's a lot of people who use another application called Strava where they record their ride. And again, you know, you can look at other people's rides and it'll show you exactly how much climbing and where the climbing is and the descents. As far as a printed map, yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
I don't know.
The internet, you know, is pretty much, yeah, really helpful these days. And then a lot of, and then you can get GPSs that fit right on your handlebar that will give you turn by turn directions for different rides as well.
What do you mean by, well, a couple of questions? Mount My Ride and Strada, the Strada, those are both apps?
Yeah. Yeah, they're both they're both applications that you can put on your cell phone or on your Garmin or on your home computer, and you can actually sit there and create a route. So you can sit there on Map My Ride and click on it where you want to go and create your own route. And then you can either just print it out and take it with you as a cue sheet. It'll make a cue sheet for you. It'll give you turn-by-turn directions on the cue sheet. And you can calculate very accurately what the elevation gain is going to be.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. And what about the GPS
on Map My Ride? So then once you've created your cue sheet in using one of the software like Map My Ride, then you can generate a file called a GPX file, which you can upload to either your cell phone if it has a GPS built in or to a Garmin computer, a Garmin style, global positioning computer, and then you can actually get turn-by-turn directions while you're out riding.
So you go from the app where you've created your ride, and then somehow you go from that to uploading a GPS file.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
I'll try to figure that out. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Now, was Jim referring to roads or trails? Is there such a thing?
I think he was talking about roads.
Oh, okay, because I would think it would be a little tougher to have a GPS map with trails, but maybe it's possible.
You can still do it. In fact, so for mountain bikers, the more popular site would be Trail Forks. You can go on Trail Forks, and they actually have, I mean, it's kind of like everybody contributes information to this. So, you know, our local trails around here, you know, someone will go out there and ride it and use a GPS, record their ride, and then use that as a way of generating data that then other riders can then use to plan their own rides. And you can actually get turn-by-turn directions. It's pretty funny. It actually says, see that big oak up in front of you? Turn left.
Well, now what if someone cuts the oak down in the meantime?
No, you're right. I lied. It doesn't actually do that. But when you're riding, if you're depending on what kind of device you're using, if you miss the trail, it'll go like, it'll make a little noise or something.
Wow, that's
and
really
so you
cool.
can look down and see where you need to go.
That is really interesting. Our guest today,
it's really cool,
Samantha Moranville of Revolution Bicycles and Mary Glynn of the Adirondack Mountain Club. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's grab another call or two before the next break. Layla in Mount Tremper, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually have learned what I wanted to learn or how to approach it from the previous comments.
Oh.
I have new questions, though, if I may.
Sure.
Where would you guys recommend a place to test ride an electric bike, and how would you go about evaluating one for your own use? What's the price range? And a related question would be, do they have cleated pedals or do they have cage pedals or a different kind of pedal?
Okay, so generally speaking, e-bikes, any e-bike that I feel would be worth purchasing, they start at about $1,500. You know, it depends on the style you're talking about, but your standard sort of hybrid model is going to be in the, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 range. But you're going to be in it for at least $1,500.
Say it again, Layla.
What do you mean by hybrid? I'm so sorry. When you said your hybrid model, is that different? Is that different from? What does that mean? Is that different?
So e-bicycles come in all different kinds of bikes. So there's gazillions of bikes out there, from basic cruisers all the way up to high performance, you know, riding in the Tour de France road bike style, you know. And so depending on what kind of bike you want to get. Now, for the most casual, most recreational riders, something known as a hybrid is the most popular choice. And the price point for those is in the 2000s. So those are the ones that, you know, are going to meet the needs of the majority of people who want to ride around the neighborhood, who want to ride on the rail trail, do some stuff like that. As far as pedals go, you know, you can always put the kind of pedals on there that you want. So if you have a preferred style, whatever your preferred style is, can be added onto the bike. And then you asked about where to go for a test ride. So, first of all, you would need to find a shop that had bikes that were available to test ride. We do have some. And then you would want to ride it in a condition that kind of mimics the kind of condition that you're going to be riding once you take the bike home. So for a lot of our customers who come in and they're interested in riding on bike paths, you know, there's actually the Kingston Plain Rail Trail. So I'll usually just jump on a bike and go along with them and we'll just go for a ride. And then if they want to see how hills go, I already have a hill sort of in my mind where I can take them and just really kind of see how that feels. So I would choose a shop that, you know, first of all, had the stuff, and then, you know, and then hopefully you can get out and ride it in similar conditions to where you want to use it.
Well, Layla, thanks for the call. We have to take a quick break here. Samantha Moranville is here from Revolution Bicycles in Kingston, and Mary Glynn of the Adirondack Mountain Club. And we are talking hiking and biking today. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. Fox Pop on WAMC, hiking and biking today. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. And Mary Glynn joins us from the Adirondack Mountain Club, as well as Samantha Moranville of Revolution Bicycles in Kingston, New York. Well, this long path business has generated a little controversy. Let's see. We had one here that says, well, it ends at Thatcher Park at the Visitor Center. My favorite sections of it include Mount Tremper area, the Catterskill Forest region, and that section that goes over the magnificent Wittenberg-Cornell area. You can get a map for it at the New York NY-NJ Trail Conference. And then somebody else wrote and said, no, it does not end at the Thatcher Park. It goes up to the Adirondacks. Google Long Path with NY-NJ. So I'm not sure what to believe. What do you think, Mary?
Oh, That's tough. I had only thought of it down in the, you know, Catskills, New York, New Jersey, or Southern New York, New Jersey area. But I could be wrong. It could be in, you know, some far corner of the Adirondacks I have yet to visit.
Well, so far it's 3-1. Three people said it ends at Thatcher Park. One person says it ends in the Adirondacks. So I'm sure we'll find out for sure. This email came in from Jill. And Jill says, is there a printed map for the New York State Empire Electric Power Trail that goes through the Athens Kinderhook area? What parts are currently open? Not sure if you have the answer to that one.
I do not. That's an area of the state that I'm not as familiar with and haven't visited yet.
What's the toughest?
Yeah, I'm afraid I can't help with that one either.
Mary, what's the toughest of the 46?
Oh, this is a question I get a lot, and I would say that it really can vary, you know, depending on the weather conditions, the time of year you're going, who you're hiking with, if you're hiking with anyone, what you ate for breakfast, all kinds of stuff. For me personally, I don't particularly care for Blake or Cliff.
Why?
I think it was more of an anecdotal, circumstantial reason. I think I was just very tired. They were both on pretty long days, and I think I just wasn't feeling my best, and ended up blaming the mountain when it probably was something else.
That seems logical. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Douglas at Saratoga Lake. Douglas.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for the taking the call and the information.
You betcha.
I grew up pretty much in the Adirondacks and still, as I say, I live in the Saratoga Lake area. My question, we've seen the degradation of the quads and the motor quads and all, and the new laws basically keeping them off certain trails. What are we going to do, and what do your guests suggest to avoid damaging of trails in the Adirondacks? I'm 73 years old, and I have seen the damage. What do we do, mountain bikes, whatever, to avoid the continued damage in the Adirondack trails?
Hearing nothing? No. Mary, would you like to address that?
Yeah, I'll start. So this is one of the big hot topics within my office, for the past, couple of years, really. I've certainly seen the trails become more and more eroded and definitely just an increase in impacts all across the board. And I think a lot of it boils down to education. A lot of times people aren't aware of the impacts that they're causing, and they're not aware of how many users we're seeing in these areas and on these trails. Nobody goes out and intends to leave these impacts. They're just trying to have a good time and enjoy, and they might not realize that, hiking in mud season erodes the trail, and trail erosion leads to, the vegetation being disrupted, and, it kind of snowballs from there. So I think it's really about getting ahead of that and getting as many people educated about Leave No Trace and planning ahead, and just being mindful of the impacts that they are leaving, whether intentionally or unintentionally, as they recreate, and thinking about everyone else who's also doing the same thing.
Yeah, one of the things that I've seen is that with the growth of the interest in cycling, there's also been a lot more people who are becoming part of various mountain biking clubs and groups, and a lot of these people act as trail ambassadors, and one of the really great things is that part of the mission statement of all of these groups is to preserve the trails. And so part of it is just educating people of when is not a good time to use. For instance, if it's muddy, you really shouldn't be out there, because, your wheels can put ruts in the, wheels, footprints, hoof prints, whatever kind of user is out there, on muddy conditions, that's when there's greater risk to damage to the trail. So, it's important to kind of be mindful of what the conditions are so you aren't hurting it. And one of the great things about the mountain biking groups is that they are doing a lot to educate people. And then you also have a lot of people who voluntarily go out and do trail maintenance. And so that's been of help to a lot of people, which you wouldn't necessarily even realize that they're out there helping. So.
All right, Douglas, thanks a lot for the call. Mary Glynn is here from Adirondack Mountain Club. Samantha Moranville of Revolution Bicycles in Kingston. Our number is 800-348-2551. This email came in from Leslie. And Leslie says, my mother, who is in her upper 80s, wants to bike. I'm nervous about her falling from the bike. Can you speak about a tricycle? Are they any good? Would this be a good fit for an older person? And that's from Leslie.
Yeah, tricycles are definitely a popular option for a lot of older people. It's especially if you live, somewhere where it's not terribly hilly, because tricycles are pretty heavy. So there's, a bit of a disadvantage there. In places like Florida where it's flat, it's they're extremely popular. And so I'm just thinking, someone who's in her 80s, I'm not sure, how strong she is. One thing you could consider is an electric tricycle. They do make them.
Oh, come
you know.
On, really?
Yeah, sure.
An electric tricycle.
I mean, you're going to be in it for, $2,500 or more, but if it's, you know, the difference between, you know, staying home and or getting out, then it could be worth considering. The other thing is, I wouldn't necessarily assume that she's going to fall, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's bikes on the market. You can look at something like the Electra Townie, which is a regular bicycle, but it has a posture on the seat so that when you're seated, you can put both feet down.
Wow.
And just being able to immediately put, you know, your feet in contact with the ground is usually all a lot of people would need,
right,
in order to just feel secure, like they're going to stay upright.
Do they have
and those are much lighter weight, you know.
Do they have electric unicycles?
That would be hilarious.
They don't have those things? No?
I don't know. You know, I mean, okay. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to look that up later.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's go to Andy in Latham. Andy, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think this question is probably more directed at Samantha.
Okay.
My daughter lives in Fort Collins, Colorado. And right now I'm in Ticonderoga on vacation, and I live in Latham. She is an avid mountain biker. She's done a couple of 100-mile bike races. And when she came up to visit, she expressed an interest in riding from our house in Latham up to the lake in Ticonderoga. And she doesn't want to ship a bike, and she doesn't have a road bike that would be appropriate for that. She has a couple of mountain bikes. Is there a place that would rent a road bike for a trip such as that?
Probably. So I'm not in the Latham area, so I'm not really familiar with what the stores are up there. But, you know, generally speaking, if you can find a bike shop, you know, you could rent. I will say that because of COVID and the whole bike boom and everything, stuff is really limited right now. There's very limited inventory. So I'm not quite sure what would be available, you know, particularly right now.
Be for next year anyway.
Okay.
She's already gone back to Colorado. But we come up here
for
30 years.
I think you should be able to find a bike shop that would rent her a good quality road bike that she could go out and, you know, use for a day or two and do that ride.
Okay.
I would just try all the shops in your area.
All right.
Do you know of any? I mean, I'd be willing. Did your shop rent those? I'd be willing to drive to Kingston to pick one up.
Okay. Well, we can't really do business on the air, but I'm sure you can find her contact information on our website, wamc.org/voxpop.
Okay.
And that's a fast way to go about doing it. Thanks for the call. Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to mention a little bit more about small areas that are local that are good to go to hike in. I think a lot of times people tend to think Adirondacks, Catskills, drive for, you know, a couple of hours, get to a place. But we really have a wealth of small areas right around here. Of course, there's well-known ones like Thatcher Park and the Albany Pine Bush. But there are also a lot of many smaller preserves in the area. Let me mention one small organization, ECOAST, the Environmental Clearinghouse. They have published a group, they have four guidebooks, county by county, Albany County, Schenectady County, Saratoga County, and Rensselaer County, featuring hiking areas in each of those four counties, and they're available at local bookstores and sporting stores. So I just want to put in a word for some of the small areas. And 20 minutes, half an hour, you're there.
All right.
No drive, not much drive.
Thanks, Nancy. We appreciate the call. Mary, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everyone does tend to think of the Adirondacks and the Catskills when you think of hiking in New York State. And really, there are a ton of local spots. You know, you might be surprised at what's in your own backyard. And I know, you know, certainly when, you know, we're talking about staying local during this time and recreating a little bit closer to home, I live in Saranac Lake, and I had it pretty easy. I have a bunch of trails within, you know, a half a mile of my house that I can access. But I was surprised that, you know, I'm living in the shadows of the high peaks. I'm so used to hiking in the high peaks and doing some of the more big name hikes and trails and mountains. And I was amazed at some of the, you know, little quiet gems that I was able to find within a 20-minute drive of my house that I probably never would have visited if it hadn't been for the pandemic.
Well, that's one good positive that came out of it. Susan and Saugerty. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to know if you know where Shattuck Clearing is, and I'm trying to find the easiest way to walk in with my dad. He's 84 years old.
Oh, yes. Shattuck Clearing. Let's see. You've got a couple different ways you could access it. Hiking in through, which way would I want to send you? Probably through Long Lake, my recommendation.
Right.
The northern terminus of the Northville Placid Trail off of Averyville Road is in that section. It's a little rugged through there, a lot of hills up and down, and normally pretty wet. But hiking in from Long Lake, that trail tends to be a little drier. You're hiking by the shores of the lake, and then you've got about a 4-mile stretch into Shattuck Clearing. You also might be able to paddle, if you guys are paddlers, paddle most of the way down Long Lake and then jump on the Northville Placid Trail for a shorter hike.
So it would be 4-mile walk from Long Lake.
From the actual lake itself, but you'd have another few miles along the lake if you'd wanted to do it entirely on foot.
Okay, great, because years ago we would take horseback into Calkins Creek and the Cold River, but the bridge has been down like 20 or 30 years, so we were just trying to find another way in. Terrific. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's quickly go to Wilton and Rich. Rich, you're up.
Yeah, hi. This is to answer the question of someone looking for a map for hiking and also for biking, and the perfect one is one we use. I was on a search and rescue team. I'm back in the Civil Air Patrol as a mission pilot. We look for downed aircraft and also for hikers. And the perfect match is the DeLorme, DeLorme. It's a Garmin product. It's an Atlas. You can buy it right here in your local store. I'm outside of Barnes & Noble right now. It's an Atlas and Gazetteer. It contains quadrangles of 117 different quadrangles covering the entire state of New York. It combines topographic features. It's got the scales to it. It's got all the trails listed on it and has all the contour lines. So you got your height features, you got trails, and you got roads that are all very well marked, just like a road map. You can guide somebody from the air on the ground by pointing out the topographic features and also the roads are all identified.
Wow. And so that's what you use as a search and rescue pilot in Civil Air Patrol. Wow.
It's part of it. It's a tool. There's no one map. We combine like three. We have aeronautical charts, which every pilot will carry, sectional charts, and then the ground teams, which we have do ground searches. Usually cadets do that. They all have the standard New York State topographic maps. And what's great about the DeLorme, though, like I said, we still carry it with us because the scale is perfect.
Okay.
It's perfect for actually finding your way on a sectional chart and also on the DeLorme map. Like it says, you're over Port Henry or something like that. I'm looking at right now.
Okay.
And so you can use it actually to navigate under visual conditions from an airplane even. And like I say, it's perfect for somebody biking.
Hey, Rich, we're just about out of time, man, but thank you very much. Very interesting call. All right, Samantha Moranville, how do people find Revolution Bicycles on the internet?
RevolutionBikesNY.com.
All right, and Mary Glenn, how do we find about what is happening at the moment at Adirondack Mountain Club?
Yeah, that would be 80k.org.
Well, this was so much fun, and I appreciate you both being here. We did have more information on the long path. One person says it goes right up into, Lewis Road and Route 146, doesn't end at Thatcher Park, so the mystery continues about the long path. But we'll straighten it out. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks so much.
See ya.
Thank you.
Support comes from Pelham Auto Service, Route 9 at the Amherst-Belchertown line. currently open during normal business hours. Curbside service for all to stay safe and healthy during this time. Worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, supporting our community with a temporary closure and continuing to explore art and ideas online. For projects and resources, skidmore.edu/Tang. Once again, thanks to Mary Glynn and Samantha Moranville for being on the line with us today. Thank you for calling. Great emails as well. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Matt Plummer took the calls. Our producer's Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, grab your soil, grab your seeds, get a shovel. It's gardening. Tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for 51%.